Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon and just Kyle on this episode today, so it's just the two of us. So we'll see how long this goes. You know, sometimes we can actually talk longer when it's just the two of us.
You never know, we'll see.
But we are going to be recapping a little bit of this past Sunday's sermon, where Pastor Barry started a new series on the book of 1 John, and he titled this message, Knowing God, Light and Love. And a lot of the message he focused on the relationship between truth and grace.
Mm-hmm. I think we've heard that comparison in the past, right?
Yeah, we have actually talked about that quite a bit on the podcast, and usually it's coming from a source that's not here today. So Kyle, do you want to share a little bit of an update on what's going on?
Yeah, our listeners may have kind of picked up on Brett hasn't been on for a little while. Well, some of you may know Brett. He's still doing his same role at church with the youth and involved with that. But on the other side, he's not doing stuff with Ahava anymore. He's transitioned to a different job, so he's not here as much. So he's here for certain staff things, but we don't have the ability to just pull him in as much as we used to. Which totally miss that, Brett. We miss you. I hope you're
yes,
listening.
Brett. We miss you.
But yeah, today would have been awesome. Like Brett loves talking about that, because I know it was so transformative for him to just understand that wrestling of that tension between truth and grace.
Yeah, with the truth and grace, you know, it's really been a tension that people have been wrestling with for forever, because the pull to go to one or the other extreme is always there, right? Mm-hmm. It's always, oh, we have to go more towards truth, or oh, we have to go more towards grace, instead of trying to figure out what's it look like to live in the tension. Mm.
Yeah, I think it gets uncomfortable, right? And so living in the tension, so it's easier just to gravitate towards the one you're more comfortable with. Mm-hmm. So like, oh, I just kind of want to just stay where I'm in my happy place. For me, it's more truth. I know for my wife, it's more grace. But then when you stay in on your side only, you're totally getting, it's getting skewed, and you're missing out on the counterweight, the balance. And I know when we've talked about this in the past, the tension in the middle is actually love, right?
That's what I was just going to say.
Ha, stole it from you, bro.
Yeah, so really, you know, to have a full understanding of what love is, it's really having both. Mm-hmm. Love is not the absence of one. It's actually what it looks like to have both truth and grace. Because if it's grace without truth, then it's not love. And if it's truth without grace, it's not love.
Love without, I think you said both the same. Did you? Or did
no.
Maybe I heard it the wrong way.
You're trying to put words in my mouth.
Maybe. I'm trying to catch you. Yeah, and then this sermon series that we're starting in 1 John, it's knowing God, light and love, which light is walking in truth, and then love is more on what the grace side is. But it's cool, because I know Pastor Barry felt like he wanted, you know, we've been trying to do a book in the Bible each year, and this one he felt like he wanted it to kind of flow out of the Awe of God series as well, and our retreat. And I do think it's going to be really good. I think it's going to not only tap into both of those in some ways, but then it's going to bring its own kind of its own flavor as well.
You know, one of the things that I really appreciate about the last series that we had, as well as the retreat, is I think it really helped to give language to some of the things that we've been talking about, mm-hmm. especially in relationship to our mind, our will, and our emotions. And it's cool how Pastor Barry kind of extended that into this sermon. So do you want to share about
Let's have some tea?
Yes, let's have some tea.
T-E-A. Yeah, he was talking about having T, which is T for truth, E for experience, and A for action. So truth, know and believe the truth of God's word, which is tied in with our mind. So we have to know what truth is first to be able to wrestle with it, and even to be able to process it in a healthy way with our emotions, so that it doesn't get skewed. In our experiencing with our emotions, it's practicing hearing God's voice and feeling his presence. So I know growing up myself, that stuff felt really subjective. And like, to me, that I heavily was weighted towards objectivity. So it's like rationality, object things. And I felt like that's just too whimsical. Like you can be swayed really easily. And I think there is that aspect when you go too far with your emotions. I think that comes into play. But over the last, I don't know, 15 plus years, like I've really felt, I've understood the need for the balance, and I've understood how my emotions can help me to connect with God. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been a good journey. And then I think the action part, which really ties in, especially with what we had at the retreat, is obey God's instructions and follow him. So to be able to do that, we have to know what they are. We have to know the truth of what his instructions are. And then our emotions have to be in alignment, and we have to be able to hear and be able to connect emotionally with God to be able to then take action.
Yeah. I really like, this acronym. I was like trying to find the right word for it. I really like this acronym, about, truth, experience, and action, because it really gives us a fuller picture of what kind of a more classical understanding of knowledge. You know, in our Western culture nowadays, our definition of knowledge is really tied to information and our mind. But in the more classical definition of knowledge, and more a biblical definition of knowledge, is knowing is so much more than just information in our mind. It is tied to information, but it's also tied to our experience. It's also tied to our actions and our skills. And there's so many other things that are associated with knowing something, right? Like knowing how to shoot a basketball isn't just, I know in my mind the right, you know, form to do it or the right way to do it, but it's also understanding, feeling, doing it, and participating in it, practicing it. Like those are all aspects of knowing something.
Yeah. Or even in that example, doing it under pressure is a different thing too. So doing it in practice is one thing, and then doing it when it counts and there's people have expectations on you and all that, that adds a whole different level of, oh, I know how to do it when there's no pressure, but yeah.
Yeah, so I really appreciate that his acronym, because it gives us a more full understanding of what it looks like to live in the light and to understand even God's love, right? It's like, we can know it in our mind, but if we're not experiencing it in our heart, do we really actually know it or not?
Right. Yeah, so it's good. I think the first, I think it's the first three sermons in this series will be in the section that's more focused on the light. And then I think in chapter three is when it shifts, kind of John then focuses more on love, which will be more of the grace. So we're getting the foundation more on the light and the truth right now. So those that like the grace side, just be patient. Like it's coming. And he uses, you know, love language in these first couple of chapters too, but he's kind of setting the framework and the groundwork for what a healthy love is when he gets to, especially chapter four is big. A lot of people know that one.
Sounds like someone's been doing some research. Maybe someone's coming to speak soon.
Two weeks, two Sundays. So yeah, I'm in the middle of it. It's good. I feel like I have some good stuff to share, but yeah, it's, well, just a little sidebar. It's fun seeing my journey preparing for sermons, where I think I used to get so stressed and wanting everything to come out perfect or correct or right. And still knowing my personality, I need to start chewing on things at an earlier rate than you do. I know for you, you can do it in a lot quicker, condensed form. For me, I need to like let it stew a little bit. Doesn't mean I'm putting in like tons of hours early, but I got to start like processing it. But then I even felt like this week, like, oh, I got to get going a little bit more. I kind of have an idea, but it was good. I felt, oh no, I have a good foundation of where I want to go, and now it's starting to fill in. And yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes in a couple of weeks. We can record and see it, looking back. Okay, was it good or not?
It just seems like I can do things quickly, but that's because I'm an internal processor, so you just don't see how much processing is going on.
But you can do it in the moment. You can do things pretty quick. I can somewhat, but you're pretty efficient with that. So,
yeah, I try. So one of the things that Pastor Barry mentioned in his sermon is he brought up the experience of Charlie Kirk this past week. And unfortunately, Charlie Kirk was assassinated last week. And, you know, as we were kind of discussing and kind of prepping for this episode, we were wondering if we should talk about that at all. And I think I think there are some things that would be good to address as we talk about it, especially in light of Pastor Barry's usage of some of the things that that Charlie Kirk talked about. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it's interesting, because the way that things have gotten skewed, mm-hmm. right? So in the clip that Pastor Barry showed in his sermon on Sunday, Charlie Kirk talks about the woman who was caught in adultery, mm-hmm. right? And in this scenario, you know, a woman is brought to Jesus and they said, "We caught her in adultery. What are you going to do about it?" Because they were trying to trap him. They're trying right. to get him to say something that was they could arrest him for, or something that he could get in trouble for.
And then, like, the Mosaic law was that she should be stoned, yeah. right?
Yeah. So they were getting ready to see what his response would be, right? Because she was supposed to get stoned under the law.
Right.
Right. And so his response is, right, if you haven't sinned, then you can throw the first stone. And mm-hmm. then they all just started dropping their stones and walking away. Mm-hmm. Right. And so in that perspective, if you stop the story there, it just seems like Jesus is grace, 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 grace only. Mm-hmm. Right. But as Charlie Kirk points out in the video, he says, Jesus doesn't stop the story there. The story doesn't end there. Then he turns to the woman after they have all left and he says, "Go and sin no more." Mm-hmm. Right. And so he's actually pointing her to the truth that her lifestyle is not the lifestyle that she was designed for. Mm-hmm. And so for her, she needed to have a little bit more truth and be confronted mm-hmm. in that way, mm-hmm. but at the same time, being full of grace. And so the way that Jesus handled it is he was modeling the tension of love between truth and grace. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that idea of not wanting someone to stay where they're at when the place they are at is an unhealthy situation, unhealthy viewpoint, unhealthy lifestyle, it's hard in our society, because it's almost like, well, let people kind of make their own choices, do their own thing. And from especially like believer to believer, like when we see people in a bad place and we just kind of feel like we're maybe not hand tied, but it's just not proper etiquette nowadays to confront or challenge. It is kind of sad that we just let people even drift or flounder in a way that's not loving, and it's not what God wants for them and the best for them. And I know that the hard part is that can be done very hurtful and mm-hmm. in a very bad way as well. And so that's the hard part too, is like, I don't know if I can do that. How can I do it in a healthy way, or will mm-hmm. it be received? So I know there's the tension in there, but when it's just, no, I'm not supposed to, because it's mean or that's not a good thing to say, it's like, wow, I don't know. Jesus said some pretty hard things to people because he wanted what was best for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, when I was growing up, the phrase "Jesus loves you just the way you are" mm-hmm. was pretty popular. Mm. And so it's like, yeah, Jesus loves us just the way we are. Jesus loves us just the way we are, right? And so that's basically trying to say, like, you know, nothing we can do will ever make Jesus not love us. But I thought it was cool. Later on, I heard a pastor give a sermon, and he said, yeah, that's true, but Jesus also loves us so much that he's not going to leave us where we are. Mm. Right? So it's, even if we are floundering in our sin or things like that, he doesn't want to just leave us in that situation. He wants to take us out of that. And he wants to show us how he designed us to live, which is to have a flourishing life. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that part was really important in that sermon that I heard, for that pastor to say, it doesn't just end there. And I think that's where we run into a lot of problems, when we end the story too early, or we end the clip too early, and we don't see mm-hmm. the fullness of what is being talked about. You know, so that's one thing that I appreciated about, you know, Charlie Kirk in that situation, is that he didn't just end the story there. And I think that's something that a lot of our media does a lot of times. They just take these little bits and pieces and they end the story too early, or they end the clip too early, and we don't get to see the fullness of everything.
Yeah, I mean, with him specifically, I've watched a few highlights, or just like a compilation of things from just this year, actually, with him at different campuses. And it is interesting to see. I've just noted myself observationally, when people ask him challenging questions and even against what he believes, but they do it in a calm, thought-provoking, but a calm manner, he answers back with likewise. But when it's very much more like harsh rhetoric and they're trying to trap and they're trying to get like, I got you, and they're escalating their voice, they're escalating their, and it's like, well, he's not necessarily that he's trying to go over them, but he's going to like ramp up a little bit then too. And I think that I've seen a lot of those clips get shared where then it's like, yeah, he's a mean person because his voice is loud and he's like, I guess you could say he almost feels like it's threatening, but it's like, well, he's just reciprocating how the conversation has started to go. And you have to kind of think of it. It's like, he's at these things. These are debate formats. They're not, it's not like just a sit down conversation with an acquaintance. It's meant to be a back and forth debate style. So some people just really get turned off by that. And they get like, oh, like nails on the chalkboard type of response. Like, oh, that's so painful to be. I'm like, yeah, that I don't always like them, but if I know the purpose and the intent behind that style, it's like, well, yeah, both sides should be kind of going at each other and their weaknesses somewhat. But then it is interesting to see, like, he was so good with his train of thought and his logic, mm-hmm. and being able to spot flaws. And then when the other person was confronted with a flaw in their thinking and their logic, how they would circle back to something else, and even emotionally or something, because their foundation was actually really flawed and weak. But yeah, just it's sad that there's even people celebrating that he died because he was a mean person. It's like, he was a very thoughtful person, and he was in the debate arena. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to cause controversy. He's going to say things that are against what other people think. But when I watch, I don't take it that way, where he's actually really a hurtful, mean mm-hmm. person. But that's that tension of being gracious in some ways, but then he really had to hold on to truth because people were attacking his view of what truth is, and so he had to kind of stand hard on that.
Yeah, when you're talking about him kind of ramping up a little bit in response to the person that's asking questions, or the ways that he's the statements that are being made, I remember when I was in school, I was in a communications class, and they actually said that that's actually a sign of a good listener, is when you kind of match the level of intensity or even raise it up a little bit. And that's kind of actually a sign of a good, healthy conversation, is when you're kind of matching the emotional experience. It shows the person that you're talking to that you're listening to them, and that what they're talking about matters to you.
Oh, interesting.
And so when you're saying that, it's like, oh, that's actually something that I learned in school that you're supposed to do to show that you're listening and paying attention to what they're talking about.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't know that. Then I guess he was being a good listener.
But at the same time, like when it's caught on social media or caught on different outlets or different ways that people are portraying him, and they don't see the dialogue, the back and forth, and or you're not the person that's listening to or, you know, having the conversation, it totally changes the context, right? So when I was in class and they were talking about it's actually for the person that you're talking to feel like they're being heard and being understood. And so that's actually an important part of the communication process. But they didn't really say how that affects the people that are on the outside, if there is anyone on the outside watching. So depending on where you are in the conversation, it changes how you receive what's being said, or even the tone, or anything like that. Because it could be actually a good conversation, but you're not seeing it that way.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, him specifically, there's a lot of clipped little segments that I think get taken out of context that look different than when you watch it in its entirety. And so not just the content of the words, but then, yeah, the emotional level and things like that. But I think overall, the thing that saddened me the most with his passing and the response was just seeing, and this goes to what truth is, I think, is just seeing the lack of value of life. That people could celebrate that somebody, they were happy somebody died because it was somebody they didn't agree with. And I'm like, wow, even to be happy that somebody's hurt when you don't agree with them, that's like a level of I don't know, a level of depravity, I guess you could say. But then you go to the extent that their life isn't even worthwhile because they have a different mm-hmm. viewpoint, and even their style might be a different than you like or harsh. And yet, and so then because of that, like their life doesn't matter. And I'm like, wow, that shows where partly like where our country, where our society, where the world is with the value of human life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's something that is, as we continue this episode talking about truth, mm-hmm. I think that's something that we need to kind of focus on, is just the way that our society is built to kind of lead us away from truth, or to point us to narratives or things like that that are might be half truths or three quarter truths, but they're not fully the truth, mm-hmm. and how the enemy can actually leverage that and use that against us to cause division, to cause us to move away from the Lord or things like that. Because I do feel like truth is under attack nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, just even desensitizing us to kind of the harder truths. There's always hard truths in life, and then we either don't want to face them, or we kind of minimize them, or we kind of find a way to make them more appealing or palpable, right? And so, yeah, because that's really, it's like one of the ultimate truths of the value of mm-hmm. life, and that we're made in God's image. And I'm like, wow, like it was eye-opening for me how many people have got to that place where, yeah, if I don't think a person is worthwhile based on who they are and what they believe in, then I'm fine if they die. I'm like, to me, like that desensitivity to mm-hmm. what death really is.
And so, yeah, I do feel like, too, the way that, you know, Pastor Barry also showed another video of Charlie Kirk's wife and her response to it. And it was like, wow, she's so strong in this moment. Mm-hmm. But then also recognizing that the way that it is a difficult situation, but the way that the Lord can use it for something good. And to see now some of the response is that there have been some pretty good things that have been happening as a result of that. And actually some things coming to light that are pretty dark too, so that things that weren't in the light before. So I think I do feel like it's interesting the different perspectives that you can have on a situation too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the way she was rooted in the Bible and her response. I mean, I didn't watch the whole video of mm-hmm. her sharing, but, you know, talking about how God works all things for good for those who are called who love him and are called according to his purpose. Mm-hmm. I think I got that right mostly. But, you know, like for her to be able to say that in the midst of this, which is like one of the hardest things anybody could go through, especially as a mom and a wife with young kids. And I felt genuinely that she was grounded and firm in that. And not that it makes it totally easy, but I was like, wow, that's faith. Her faith right there is very strong, but she believes that she believes that as truth. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it's giving her a different kind of foundation.
So as part of this series where we're focusing on truth and grace and the relationship between truth and grace, and kind of like you shared, the grace part is coming towards the end of the book. Mm-hmm. So at the beginning is a lot about the truth. What are some things that you do personally to help yourself to make sure that you're aligned with the truth, or that you're hearing the truth? Is there anything that you do to do that?
Wow, that's a hard one.
And then I'll give you some time to think too. Is there anything else that you do for your kids to help them? Because I think that's a big part of it too. It's like, first we have to know the truth, but then too, how do we help the people that we love and care about to know the truth also?
Well, so I think for me, I think that's kind of hard to answer, partly because I think that's how I'm wired. So critical thinking, trying to be seeing things in like the logic, reason, I think it helps a lot in that realm. But I think the part I have to guard myself is making sure I'm getting enough variations of viewpoint. Mm. I don't always do that. So then I do find I can get into wrong thinking or skewed thinking because of that. But I think I kind of gravitate towards skepticism and seeing things like, okay, is that really true? Like, so like we were just watching I sent a video to you, right? Yesterday, I think it was. And even your response, and you were like, wait, is that true? Like, I'm not sure. And I was like, I had the same kind of initial response too. And I think it's healthy, but not that we want to doubt everything, but we want to make sure what we're holding on to. And especially if we're going to share it with somebody that, I think this is truth. And, you know, the one I sent you, then there was somebody else that had done some more research. So it brought more, substance to like the foundation of it for me. But I kind of naturally want to see things as a skeptic. Not that I doubt everything, but I want to make sure, like, okay, am I following something that is aligned with truth? And it's not even always like, is that biblical truth? It's just, there's just things that are knowledge and factual that, is that truth or is it skewed? And then definitely with the Bible.
So basically what you're saying is that you try to wrestle with things so that it's not just, I'm going to accept whatever anybody says, but you want to wrestle with it to make sure that it is truth. And if it's truth, then you're okay with holding on to it.
I think for the most part, and then there is like that bias sometimes that comes in with things that you want to be true. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it gets a little tricky of like, oh, I want this to be true, but am I being objectionable or am I kind of like letting my own biases kind of filter? And I see that. And sometimes I catch it in the moment. Sometimes I don't catch it till later. Sometimes other people have to like highlight it or even point it out. And it's like, oh shoot, I didn't think of that side of it or that perspective. So I think it's part of it. It's just curiosity. Not to make this sound bad, but just not being lazy and just taking things at face value and letting people spoon feed you. You kind of have to, for truth, you have to do some digging. And not every scenario and every fact and everything is important for every person. Like certain things are going to be more aligned for you to go deeper on. And some things it's kind of like, well, that doesn't really matter. Or maybe in the future I'll dig more into that. There's some things that are just they're more surfacey. But for the deeper things, especially things with our faith and with the Bible, like that's why it was so cool what the class that Henry did with the youth and how they went to like the apologetic stuff of why this is factual, not just what we believe, but why. And there's some like hard evidence of why this is. It aligns with history. It aligns with all these different things and archaeology and things. Those things are important. And I don't know that we put enough into those. And then because of that, then our foundation of truth can be kind of shaky.
So on that, let's give a plug to Henry because he will be teaching a kingdom class coming up, right?
I think it's mostly confirmed, but I think it's going to be announced, yeah.
And he will be going through the same things with the adults as he did with the youth, and it will be basically ways that we can defend our faith and ways that we can firm up our foundation and knowing intangible ways that what we believe is true and pulling on different sources and different eyewitness accounts and different things like that, different historical artifacts and different things to help us to have more of a grounding than just a head knowledge of this is what I believe. But
yeah, we'll have some more details to share. Maybe hopefully even this Sunday when we do announcements, we'll have some, I think, the kingdom classes, it's good. It's evolving a little bit. And yeah, I think people are going to be happy with some of the different ways we're doing things and some of the different offerings. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think one of the things that I've tried to do with my kids is to help them to try to be discerning in the different things that they hear and trying to make sure that they're understanding context in when people say different things. One example that I give them, too, is how, you know, we have so many voices that are coming at us, right? Whether it's media, social media, TV, advertising. There's so many things that are out there that are geared to, for lack of better terms, manipulate us to believe certain things.
That's what marketing's all about.
Right? And so one of the things that is helpful for us is to make sure that we are trying to discern and see, you know, is this actually true? And so an example that I use, and I'll just throw Kyle's name in. So if someone were to say, if Uncle Kyle were to give a sermon, and in the sermon he were to say something, actually, I can't call you Uncle Kyle on the podcast. Executive Pastor Kyle comes on the pod, or gives a sermon. He's gesturing a bow to me right now. But so if Executive Pastor Kyle in 2 weeks gives a sermon, and he says in his sermon that he hates black dogs' poop, I think a lot of people would agree that they don't like black dogs' poop, right? But if someone were to take a video of him and cut the video before he says poop, and he were to, so all they saw was him saying, I hate black dogs, that's a totally different scenario than what he actually said. But they could post that on social media. They could show that to their friends. They could spread that all around, and everyone will think, oh, man, Executive Pastor Kyle, he is not an animal lover. He hates black dogs, da 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 da. And really, the thing that he was saying was he hates poop. Mm-hmm. And so just how you clip things, how you share things, it can be used to manipulate whoever's watching or whoever's seeing or whoever's hearing to think a certain way, even if it's not true. Mm-hmm. And so I tell them, okay, we have to make sure that we're trying to hear the whole thing. So kind of like what you were talking about before, in hearing both sides of the situation or hearing various viewpoints on different things, those things are important. Mm-hmm. It's important. It's important not just to hear one side or one viewpoint, but to hear the whole thing. And then also to make sure that we're hearing the entirety of the thing, mm-hmm. and not just clips, you know. And that's been something that people have accused pastors of doing for a long time, mm-hmm. of just clipping, mm-hmm. and I'm going to use this one verse to prove my point that I want to say, instead of looking at the verse in its full context. And they use it to say something that never meant in the first place.
So how do you specifically use that with your kids then, like that analogy?
Well, so we talk about that, and then when we are talking about different issues or different things that they mm-hmm. talk about in school or different things, that I'll just ask them the question, like, is that black dogs or is that black dogs poop? And I'll use it in various contexts where sometimes I know it's true and sometimes mm-hmm. I know it's not true. Mm-hmm. So that way they're getting it from both sides. So mm-hmm. it's not that they're questioning everything, but they're just trying to discern, trying mm-hmm. to help them to discern, you know, is this truth? Is this not truth? Because, you know, while they're under my care, I can help to train them mm-hmm. so that when they aren't there, then they're actually able to think and for yeah. themselves.
Yeah, you're giving them a healthy framework on how mm-hmm. to process information and decide truth or not truth. So is there anything else from Pastor Barry's message for you that stood out, or anything else you want to discuss?
I mean, I think I'm just looking forward to how this message goes. Or this series goes. I'm looking forward to 2 Sundays from now.
You better be.
But I really do feel like this is something that's really important for the time that we're living in. Mm-hmm. Just with the polarization of our society, mm-hmm. it's just so split. Mm-hmm. You know, it just seems like everything is so split, and there's so much division. And I feel like this series is really geared towards bringing things together. Mm. You know, instead of causing more division, it's actually trying to point us to what the Lord has for us, which is unity, mm. right? We might disagree on certain things, but really unity is not that we have to agree on everything, but it's recognizing that there's things that connect us that are more important than the things that separate us. Mm-hmm. And so really for me, I feel like this series is going to be a good step for us as a church to be able to walk in our identity mm-hmm. as a church, as the light of the world, to help bring that unity in the world, as opposed to just adding to more division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's interesting for me to go back to like the first of the year and what we've covered as a church, what we've kind of wrestled with, where we've been, the retreat, where we're at now, and even thinking of these last few months, what's in store. And I think when I'm in the midst of it, I kind of lose track of like, oh, wow, there's some significant things that the Lord's doing, the way he's shifting things. the way he's having people wrestle with some hard topics. It's really exciting to actually, because I had somebody kind of say that to me, like, oh, we've actually done a lot this year, or the Lord's like moving us. And I'm like, oh yeah, I hadn't really thought of it. I'm just so busy doing. And then I'm like, oh yeah, no, it brings that encouragement of, yeah, this is tough stuff, but it's worth it and it's worthwhile. And then you start seeing the transformation in people, and you start seeing even shifts in their relationship with the Lord, with the other people, mm-hmm. and just their foundation, and really like that they're enjoying life better. And mm-hmm. I thought, oh yeah, this is good. This is really good.
Yeah. So keep sticking with us. Keep sticking with our sermon series. It's going to be really good, especially in 2 weeks. I'm trying to pile the pressure on so that, not that he doesn't put enough pressure on himself, but this is his first sermon as executive pastor, Kyle. So it's going to be good.
It's absolutely, there's no doubt about it. It's going to be different. So I'll put it that way. It's going to be different than it was before.
I have something that I'll say to him off air, but
shoot. Oh,
don't want to throw him on blast right now, but you can ask him yourself.
Hey, man,
what else is going to be different about this?
You're on staff. I could always call you out cold turkey in the middle of a message. Hey, Damon, I think I need you to come up here and share something for me.
Good thing I can think quickly on my feet
and be able to do it.
All right. Well, it is a little bit on the short side this episode, but it's, you know, just the two of us. So if you like it better when we have three people on, maybe that's a calling for you to come on and be a guest on the podcast. We are always looking for guests, especially people that haven't been on. We'd always like hearing new voices, and we'd love to have you on. So,
and we have some flexibility. We can work around schedules. So don't think, oh, I can't do it because I'm working during the day. Like, we have ways to make it happen.
Yes, we do have ways to make it happen. If you have a little break, we have had episodes where we've had people call in,
yes.
And you know, we can do that type too. So don't let things be boundaries for you to come on the podcast. So we are excited about this series, diving more deeply into 1 John, and understanding more of what truth and grace and the relationship.
And I'm going to put this out there right now: Brett will be back on. He will be at some point, but so Brett, you are wanted. We want you back on, so we'll work out a time that works for you and the right episode. But we want Brett's voice back on here.
Yes, having Brett's chair empty is not preferable. But yes, we will have Brett back on. So if you miss Brett, let him know so that he can bug us to get back on too. All right, well, that'll just about do it. We appreciate all you guys out there for sticking with us and being awesome listeners. So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.